Welcome. This is Joe Aguirre in studio with astrophysicist Jeff Swearing, biochemist Fuzz Rana, philosopher theologian Kenneth Samples, and astronomer Hugh Ross. Theistic evolution remains a daunting challenge for many Christians. We here at Reasons to Believe get asked that question often. What does RTB think of theistic evolution? In fact, what is theistic evolution? With that in mind, that is a good place to start. And Hugh, we'll pose that question to you. Let's start with the term theistic evolution, because that itself is sometimes confusing for Christians. So let's start with a definition of terms.
Well, it will be confusing because it's a very broadly defined category. Matter of fact, 200 years ago, the term theistic evolution was used for any Christian who believed that God created over hundreds of millions of years, whether they believed in God creating through divine miraculous interventions or not. Today, the term has evolved. But it's still a very broadly defined, term. I mean, you have what I would call deistic evolutionists who believe that God was active in his work of creation and his miraculous interventions only at the very beginning of the universe. And since God created the universe 14 billion years ago, he's been taking a vacation, basically turning his back on his creation and letting the natural laws that he set up produce everything thereafter. A category that's close to that is what's been called fully gifted creationism, which was a term popularized by Howard Van Til, a physicist at Calvin College, which is the idea that when God created the universe, he gifted it with all the physics and chemistry that would be necessary to produce everything that God wanted to happen thereafter. And so his point is God's in control, but that he very elegantly designed the original creation such a way that the natural laws that he set up would produce everything that he wanted. Then you have a new term called evolutionary creationism. That's a term that was popularized in a book by Daryl Falk, who's now the president of BioLogos, probably the leading theistic evolutionary organization today. But BioLogos does not want to be known as theistic evolutionists. They're trying to distance themselves from deistic evolution and fully gifted creationism, in that they believe that, God works through gradual process, but they insist that it's still miraculous. And that there are theistic evolutionists who would say God not only works through gradual process, gradual natural process without miraculous intervention, but they would say God does intervene, but intervenes infrequently. And so they would have an intervention at the creation of the universe, a miraculous instantaneous intervention, say, for the origin of life, and maybe again for Adam and Eve, maybe the Cambrian explosion. So, but typically these theistic evolutionists would limit God's divine miraculous interventions to those that you could count on one hand. So it's not millions of divine interventions. It would be just, three, four, or five interventions. It's a wide spectrum. But where I think they have something in common is that they all agree that it's essential that you stick with the majority scientific opinion on the interpretation of the history of the universe and life. So that, I think that's one thing that they all share in common, is that you don't want to be stuck with a minority view. And they will point to young Earth creationists as an example where Christians have lost credibility with the scientific community. Although I think in response to that, you could point out that the problem with young Earth creationism is they can't point to a significant minority that would hold their view within the scientific community. So I think that's where we would differ with theistic evolutionists, is that we are prepared to go along with a minority view within the scientific community, but we won't go to a point where that minority becomes insignificant. Common dissent is something else that they all hold in common. I've yet to meet a theistic evolutionist that does not believe in common dissent, which is the idea that we have a shared ancestry through gradual process with species of life that have preceded us, and this is something you can trace all the way back to the first origin of life. So in a nutshell, I think that defines the spectrum of people on the people would call themselves theistic evolutionists or evolutionary creationists.
All right. How about the term progressive creationism?
Well, progressive creationism used to have a narrow definition, just like theistic evolution used to have a different definition. Now that's a term that's used to refer to people who believe in very significant divine miraculous intervention, as well as people who believe that God does not intervene other than through the gradual natural processes. So it's a term that I would say today includes theistic evolutionists as well as people who hold our position that indeed God creates over billions of years but creates through miraculous interventions. By the way, we're not saying God never uses natural process. There are gradual natural processes, but we see it as a combination of a God working through the gradual process and freely and miraculously and instantaneously intervening, not just a handful of times, but literally millions of times.
Very good. This will be one in a series of recordings that we hope to address as we continue to discuss theistic evolution vis-a-vis RTB's creation model. Ken, we wanted to ask you to help us as we dialogue. I know you wanted to make some comments as it pertains to how Christians should think about these things and how such dialogue should occur. I know you had some thoughts on this whole process of talking about such contentious issues.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the right word, Joe. There are times when Christian people discuss science faith issues, and it can become very contentious. You have young earthers, old earthers, now theistic evolutionists, and sometimes there's more heat than there is light. I would say that we need to extend a welcome to the theistic evolutionists. They're certainly deserving and welcome of a place at the table in all of these discussions about science apologetics. And their subsequent scientific model, as it develops, I think that theistic evolution is a dynamic work in progress. As Hugh has said, there is no one prominent or definitive position. It's a variety of viewpoints. So they're welcome at the table, and we should have dialogue and discussion. And I think that we also need to recognize that there are Christians who hold this view. We may strongly disagree with it, but we should treat them as friends. We should treat them as brothers in Christ with respect and charity. And I think the point that I like to emphasize, sometimes I don't always practice it the way I should, but I talk about the golden rule of apologetics, and that mandates that we treat other people's beliefs and positions and other people the way we want ours to be treated. And so if we've been a bit troubled by some of the contention, the heat that exists in science faith discussion, we don't want to contribute to the heat. We want there to be more dialogue and serious debate.
And Ken, there's a real difference, say, in our relationship with young earth creationists and with theistic evolutionists, in that theistic evolutionists would agree with us that our models are testable. And if our models fail the tests, they need to be adjusted. And, you know, I made my comment about theistic evolutionists are committed to go with a majority scientific position. That majority scientific position changes as we gain new data and new understanding. So there's a flexibility within the theistic evolutionary camp that you don't see in the young earth creationist camp. And that's why I think we're able to have that kind of a dialogue and relationship.
Very good.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Thanks for joining us for this audio podcast.